Chapter 35, An Old Acquaintance Turns Up. Each day the sun shone warmer and bigger flights of migrating birds flew northward. Christian and Big Tiger herded the sheep and the camels, and the black poodle kept them company, for by now they were very good friends. In the beginning he had tried to go to the horse's pasture with Seven Stars, but the stallion chased him off the moment he sighted him. The best time was evening, when all their day's duties were done, and Affliction called them to supper. Afterwards, Affliction told them stories from his sorrowful life, and Seven Stars told about what she knew, or sang to them, and they were all quite merry, because they had no money to mind, for the old Marin had come the very next day, as he had promised, but without the cash. "Tell your father," he had said to Seven Stars. "Now, what should you tell him? Let me think." And for a long time he had sat at the fire wondering. At last he said, "You must tell Picture Sheet that the Chinaman had no money, but another man has money, only I can't get it for 8 weeks, and he must wait until then. Can you remember my words without mixing them up?" "I hear your words," said Seven Stars, "and none of them will be lost." "That's good," said the Marin. He rode off, taking with him Turakina, to whom Seven Stars had lent a horse. "I've 100 silver bots for you," he said to her benevolently. "That's the exact value of your 2 gold pieces." Turakina had never hoped to get such a lot of money, but she said promptly, "I won't give the gold pieces for less than 120 bots. Do you understand me, Marin?" "Badly," said the Marin gruffly, "but all the same, I agree. You'll get 120 silver bots, but no more." "I should have said 150, thought Turakina sadly, and the two rode on. On the second evening there was a full moon. Big Tiger, Christian, and Seven Stars were sitting in front of the yurt, while Affliction, who took his household duties seriously, was bustling about inside. "Today is the 16th day of the second moon," said Christian. "We've been traveling 13 days. If we're here much longer, we shall see Bator again," said Big Tiger. "That would be lovely," cried Seven Stars, "but it's impossible, for you have to be gone before the soldiers arrive." "When Bator comes," said Christian, "you must tell him everything that has happened. The rest, I mean, what's still to happen, I'll write him in a letter as soon as I get home. Can one write a letter to Olantore?" "Yes, you can," answered Seven Stars, "but it stays in Maumu until someone fetches it. As we ride to Maumu at least every 2 or 3 years, we would be sure to get it." "Is there no faster way?" asked Christian. "Why should it go faster? We learn what's in the letter as soon as we come across someone who can read Chinese." "Would that be in another 2 years?" asked Big Tiger. "No," said Seven Stars. "We pay a visit to the king of the Torguts on New Year's Day. There's a scribe at his court who can read Chinese letters, so we hear everything very quickly." "Well, then I'd best write straight to the king," said Christian. "Oh, if you do that," cried Seven Stars joyfully, "we'll have your letter very, very quickly. The king sends a messenger to Maumu every 3 months for the mail and the government paper. Listen now, and I'll tell you how to address the king." Christian took out his notebook and wrote on the last page what Seven Stars dictated. "To the venerable king of the Torguts, Dola Bile Kung Wang Dashi, Etsina, Kansu Province." "His scribe will read the letter and tell us what's in it," said Seven Stars. "But if there's something secret, then you must write the secret things in such a way that only we can understand. Can you do that?" "That's just in our line," Big Tiger assured her. "There's sometimes a muddle," said Christian, "but it can be straightened out." Big Tiger looked up at the moon. He thought of the ring on his thumb, and then he thought of General Wu's letter, which Christian was carrying in his pocket. Finally, he sighed, and Christian, who was thinking again of the old Amma in Peking, sighed loudly, too. "Do you have some trouble?" asked Seven Stars. "We have, but we must swallow it," confessed Christian. "We're thinking of the 50 days' journey. It's a very long time." "Hamaga," cried Seven Stars, "the lovely time in which all trouble disappears is beginning now. Next full moon we'll celebrate the spring festival, Kaush Urova. Mother will come, and my second brother will be home too. His name is Gunchuk. Where is Gunchuk now? Asked Christian. Hasn't Father told you? Inquired Seven Stars cautiously. He said he was in the service of the prince. So he is, said Seven Stars ardently. She stood up and went into the tent as if she had suddenly remembered something which was to be done. Christian and Big Tiger looked at each other. Both thought, there's something fishy here, but neither spoke. The third day passed like the first and second, and Seven Stars said, tomorrow evening, Father and Good Fortune will be back with the camels, and the day after you'll ride off. I shall cry, Seiya Bona, but I know that I'll weep afterwards, because we will be parted forever. Don't be unhappy, begged Christian. We're not worth weeping about, said Big Tiger. If you like, suggested Christian, I'll weep with you, and then you won't be alone weeping, and it will be quite easy. But you can't do that, said Seven Stars, trying to smile, for you're a man. The young people of today are a poor lot, said Affliction. If one were to weep at every little parting, one's eyes would never be dry. But there are other things to cry about, and doubtless you'll meet them in good time. Especially if you're about, said Big Tiger impudently. Yes, indeed, answered Affliction with a sigh. On the fourth day after breakfast, Christian produced a piece of soap from the briefcase. Are you going to wash? Asked Big Tiger, alarmed. No, replied Christian, take off your shirt. Why should I? Asked Big Tiger, horrified. Because I'm going to do the laundry today. At this, Big Tiger became cheerful again. I was afraid you were going to have us wash ourselves, said he. No fear, said Christian. I think it's best to put off washing until we arrive in Urumqi. It's not worthwhile before then. Let me do your laundry, said Affliction. I'm expert at it. Bulna, cried Christian, but Big Tiger said, how could we dare to trouble you? What I mean, stammered Affliction, is that a valuable piece of soap is something one doesn't often find, so I'd like, if I may, to wash my shirt a little, naturally only a little. Wash it well, said Christian. Don't skimp with the soap, said Big Tiger. We won't need it any more. Affliction thanked them and went down to the river with the shirts. Christian and Big Tiger went out to the pastures with the sheep and camels. In the afternoon, as they were sitting by the caravan road, the poodle suddenly cocked his ears and sat up. The distant sound of caravan bells became audible. There's a caravan coming, said Christian. You'll find it's the one we got the rice from, said Big Tiger. Then we'd better clear out. Yes, it would be wiser, said Big Tiger, but where to? Let's hide in the yurt with Affliction, suggested Christian. No one could see us there. Yes, Big Tiger agreed. Come, dog, let's go. The poodle followed unwillingly. He would have liked a good fight with the caravan dogs. Instead, he had to help to drive the camels and sheep into the Darasan pasture. When they knew by the sound of the bells that the head of the caravan had reached the wood, Christian and Big Tiger strolled into the yurt. What's wrong? Asked Affliction. A caravan is coming, Christian explained, and perhaps also a man with whom we exchanged two unfriendly words on the way. That's why we think it's wiser to stay in the tent, added Big Tiger, until these people have passed by. Affliction was full of approval. Come right in, he said. It's well to keep out of trouble. Better retreat than be attacked. You're a wise pair. He sat outside in the sun with the poodle, while Christian and Big Tiger squatted in the semi-darkness of the yurt, listening to the caravan bells and to the shouts of the drivers as they urged the beasts across the Narin Gol. There was a great sound of splashing and trampling, and when they were all across and Christian was just about to raise the door curtain, the sound of a trotting horse became audible. The poodle immediately rushed toward the rider, but Affliction called out, "Dog, come back!" The poodle obeyed, but was still snarling when a voice they recognized said, "Have you eaten already?" Affliction returned the greeting, and the voice said, "Does Naidong, the picture sheet, live here?" "Yes, he lives here," said Affliction, "but he's not at home." "All the same, can't I have a cup of tea?" "Yes, you may, but you must drink it outside. There's a sick man in the yurt." "But I see no sign of that." "You don't see him," explained Affliction, "because the yurt isn't a cricket cage." "I know that, but where's the sickness rope?" "What are you saying?" asked Affliction. "Ah, yes, but we haven't got a sickness rope." They could now hear the stranger dismounting. "That's nonsense," he said angrily. "Hush," said Affliction. "The sick man is asleep, and if he's not asleep, he's awake. You're lying. When there's anyone sick in a Mongol yurt, a rope hangs by the left side of the door. The sickness rope. Everyone knows it and passes by the tent. But there's no rope hanging here, so you're lying. Watch your speech, said Affliction. All our ropes are out in use, including the sickness rope. But you've got a clothesline. That's a horse's line. There are pants and shirts hanging on it, including two very small shirts. Aren't they nice, said Affliction. I've washed them with real soap, and they're white as the clouds in spring. Enough of that, shouted the man. Where are the two little monsters? Sit down beside me, said Affliction to him invitingly. I love to hear about monsters of past ages. Have you ever seen a dog like this one? Who are you, cried the man, that you dare to mock me? I met two little bandits on the road, and I see by those shirts that they're here. Did I tell you about our dog? Asked Affliction. He's different from all other dogs. He can tear a man or beast into shreds. Sit down. It's very pleasant here. You're making a fool of me, cried the man, moving toward the door of the yurt. Affliction stood up and placed himself in front of it. Your talk isn't pleasant to hear, he said. Let's talk about dogs instead. Shut up, shouted the man. He raised the entrance curtain, and Affliction, trying to stop him, nearly fell over. But the dog had already got his teeth into the man's leather pants and was pulling him back. Meantime, Affliction tripped him up with his foot. He fell. I warned you, cried Affliction. Now I must hold back the dog or he'll devour you. Hold him or I'll strike you dead. I'm not afraid of that, said Affliction gently, but try if you like. I'm not asking your permission, cried the man furiously, but suddenly he was struck silent. In the doorway stood Christian and Big Tiger, holding Affliction's gun between them. Shall we press the trigger? Asked Big Tiger. Stop, shouted the man. Help! Murder! Wait a moment, said Affliction. He knew well that the gun wasn't loaded, for Springtime Snake had taken all the cartridges except the 10 he had in his pocket. He now took out one of these, saying, There are lots more in the gun. I'm just telling you, not that it matters. Put away the gun, panted the man. What do you want? I'd like to talk to you about dogs, said Affliction. I hadn't finished. Please sit down. Dog, be quiet. The poodle lay down, still growling, beside the door, but he never took his eyes off the stranger. Affliction sat down beside him, and Christian and Big Tiger disappeared into the yurt. Look at this savage dog, began Affliction. I pacified him with two words. I'd like to pacify you also, for we're not murderers. And we're not bandits, said Big Tiger, coming out with a bowl of tea and bending his knee politely before the stranger. I'm Big Tiger, he said, and this is my friend, Compass Mountain. We met you under an unlucky star, old uncle, said Christian. He put a lump of butter into the tea and watched it melt. You extorted 20 pounds of rice from me, growled the man, but he accepted the bowl of tea. We only forgot to pay for it, exclaimed Christian. You rode off in a great hurry, said Big Tiger, just as we were about to ask you what it cost. Perhaps you still remember the price, inquired Affliction. A silver box, growled the man. Taking two of General Wu's silver boxes out of his pocket, Big Tiger said, Your little servants are much distressed because they are late in paying. Please forgive the low rate of interest. Right, said the man, looking dubiously from one to the other. Then he pocketed the money. Seeing that matters were now miles better than they had been, Affliction said, Permit me to ask your worthy name. What for? My name is Ma, like that of most Kansu men. There's nothing remarkable about that. Old Mr. Ma, said Big Tiger, if you meet the respected Mr. Greencoat on the road, will you be so good as to give him our regards and sincere good wishes? How do you know that I'll meet him? Asked Ma, startled. That's quite simple, replied Big Tiger. When two trading gentlemen meet in the desert, they don't just say, it's very hot, or it's snowing. They discuss important business matters. One needn't tax one's brain to know that. You're quite right, said Ma, flattered. Before you came along with the truck, I had concluded a good business deal with Mr. Greencoat. The stuff in question is old jewelry. I'd like to meet this Mr. Greencoat, exclaimed Affliction. Got no farther, for Big Tiger gave him a dig in the ribs, and Christian pinched his leg. What's the matter? Asked Ma, taken aback. This soldier affliction, said Big Tiger casually, has been wanting for a long time past to meet Mr. Greencoat, having heard of the fame of that merchant. But, of course, he has no chance of meeting such a distinguished gentleman. I am unworthy, said Affliction, beginning to understand. I wouldn't say that, cried Ma benevolently. I could manage an introduction where others might fail. May I ask, said Big Tiger, whether Mr. Greencoat would have any use for a capable man? Said Ma, looking dubiously at Affliction. You may not realize it by looking at him, broke in Christian, but he knows how to drive a horseless car, and that's an unusual art. Oh, cried Ma, at that rate, there might be something in it. Mr. Greencoat told me he wants to buy such a car. He's already bought it, said Big Tiger. Splendid, cried Ma, then I'll be glad to act as a go-between. We thought so, said Christian. It's only a question, replied Ma, of how to manage a meeting. Yes, that's it, said Christian. Perhaps in Tsing Tsing Ha, Big Tiger beat about the bush. No, replied Ma, I don't touch Tsing Tsing Ha. It's a long way off my route. My caravan is traveling under a contract in a 90 days journey to Kucheng, so I'm meeting Mr. Greencoat in Ming Shui. We've an appointment there for the fourth day of the third moon, early in the morning. I've heard of Ming Shui, or Mighty Water, Big Tiger lied boldly. It must be a wonderful place, said Christian. Ma smiled. I wouldn't exactly say that, he replied indulgently. There hasn't been water there for many a day. There's nothing but an abandoned frontier fortress with ruins inside it and a high wall around it. It's there I'm meeting Mr. Greencoat. Is it very far to Ming Shui? Asked Big Tiger. You see, said Christian, we're continuing our journey tomorrow. Unfortunately, Mr. Greencoat couldn't take us with him because he had business in Suzhou. I know, replied Ma, smiling meaningfully. He had a lot of bother from you two little scamps. So this is the result. But if you've good camels, you can overtake us, he continued reassuringly. Then we can talk about Mr. Affliction's wishes. Your kindness is boundless, said Affliction humbly, with a deep bow. Thanks 10,000 times. Ma stood up and took his horse by the bridle. I must be off now, he said. I can't leave my people longer. Goodbye, you two young rascals. I'll see you again in Ming Shui. May your road be peaceful, replied Christian and Big Tiger. I wish you many lucky stars, murmured Affliction. Dog, stop here, cried Christian, but the poodle ran barking behind Ma until he crossed the ford. Affliction looked after him, puzzled. The fellow's a numbskull, he said, but he can't help it. There should be a sign, Beware, hung up in front of you two. You made him talk of things he should have kept under his hat. How do you manage it? It's quite easy, said Big Tiger. When a man is a caravan leader, explained Christian, that doesn't mean he's an honorable merchant. But if you put it into his head that he is one, continued Big Tiger, it gives him such joy and pride that he's hardly able to distinguish an ox from a horse. Forgive my dullness of wit, said Affliction. I very nearly spoiled everything. Hamaga, cried Christian merrily. It has all turned out for the best. And he took out the notebook in which he had made a calendar. Today is the 18th day of the second moon, he said, and he wrote in all the days up to the fourth day of the third moon. Then he made a cross, and beside the cross he wrote Ming Shui, and beside Ming Shui he wrote in brackets, Mighty Water, Frontier Fortress, Meeting with Greencoat. Then he counted the days. 15, he said. Only heaven knows what will happen between now and then, said Big Tiger. A lot, said Affliction. We must ask you not to breathe a word of what we've learned to good fortune or anyone else. I'll fetter my thoughts and bind my tongue, promised Affliction. And they went to the pasture to take the camels and sheep to the water. The poodle ran along beside them. Tomorrow we leave the Narangol, said Big Tiger. Yes, sighed Christian. It can't be helped, said Big Tiger, by way of comfort. But this didn't cheer Christian up, and they finished their evening tasks in silence. 7 stars came in from the pasture with the horses, and they ate the meal which Affliction had prepared. Then they got out the blankets for the night, and 7 stars laid by some dry wood to have ready for kindling a quick fire when Naidong and Good Fortune would come back. Sleep well, said Seven Stars.